Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Thursday, March 28th. A new shelter for LGBTQ plus youth experiencing homelessness is now open in Vista. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. It's a big day for sports in San Diego. Both the SDSU men's basketball team and the Padres have games today. The Padres will play their home opener in front of a sold-out crowd. They'll be facing the San Francisco Giants, and the first pitch is a little after 1 p.m. The SDSU's men's basketball team is in Boston for the March Madness tournament. They'll be taking on the UConn Huskies at 4:39 this evening. You can catch that game on TBS. This is the first time in school history that the Aztecs have made it to the Sweet 16 2 years in a row. The City of San Diego is hosting another community workshop as part of the Ocean Beach Pier Renewal Project. The pier has been closed since last fall. Alif Chetentin with the City of San Diego says they'll reveal the final design concept at the workshop.
We are going to have an interactive workshop to work on some of the details. We would like to see what kind of lighting fixtures community would like to see. We have some shading opportunities. We would like to get input on that.
The event is open to the entire community next Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Liberty Station Conference Center. Today's weather is expected to be partly cloudy and windy with the strongest gusts in the mountains, deserts, and coastal areas. It'll be the warmest in the deserts today with temperatures in the low 80s, and in the mountains, temps will be in the mid-50s. In the inland and coastal areas, it'll be in the 60s. Looking toward the weekend, rain is expected tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday. But the National Weather Service says the rain will lighten on Monday. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need. A new shelter to address homelessness among LGBTQ plus youth is now open in Vista. North County reporter Alexander Nguyen says it's the only one of its kind in North County.
With a quick snip of the ribbon, Unicorn Villages in Vista is officially open. It was the culmination of months of efforts between the North County LGBTQ Resource Center, Casa de Luz, and the Palomar Unitarian Church.
We're having youth, young adults coming, literally with a backpack, and we didn't know what to do.
Max Disposti with the North County LGBTQ Resource Center says it addresses a critical need.
Sometimes youth were forced to stay in places where they were not welcome just because they didn't have any housing, any safety net to leave their own home.
According to a UCLA study, 40% of youth experiencing homelessness identify as LGBTQ+. Data shows one of the most common reasons LGBTQ plus youths end up on the streets is family rejection. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
A warning to our listeners, this next story includes a discussion of suicide. According to CDC data, a rising number of high school students have seriously considered suicide. This week, our newsroom is looking at mental health in schools. Reporter Katie Heisen says, students facing higher risk like LGBTQ plus youth also face higher barriers to help.
More than one in five high school students have seriously considered suicide. For LGBTQ plus students, that number rises to almost half.
Some of the statistics are really staggering, and frankly, we have a crisis.
That's Walter Phillips, CEO of San Diego Youth Services. The nonprofit's contract providing student mental health services was terminated by the Grossmont Union School Board after community members objected that they also provide services for the county's LGBTQ plus youth. It was part of a string of actions affecting LGBTQ plus students, like banning safe space posters and pride flags that several school districts surrounding San Diego took this year. Phillips says those actions have big consequences.
The more we put up barriers for these students to feel like they're in a safe place, then that increases their mental health issues.
Moxie Childs, now a high school junior in Temecula, says he's experienced that firsthand.
During 2021, which was height of the pandemic, I was in and out of mental hospitals quite a bit, about three times. for trying to kill myself. I was not happy at all. I was isolated from my friend group when I went to Catholic school because I came out as gay and trans. And there's a lot of isolation that goes on for a lot of queer kids in Temecula and the surrounding areas.
A Temecula Valley Unified School District spokesperson said they had no comment on the details of this story. Their school board voted in August to notify parents if their child shows signs of being transgender, like asking to use a different name, pronouns, or bathroom at school.
We were all waiting the next morning in school. It was somber. There were a few people crying, having panic attacks because their parents couldn't find out.
Moxie says it's less of an issue for him.
Most people in the admin don't even know my legal name because it's not in any of the documents at all, which I really appreciate. Some students got a hold of it at one point, and that wasn't fun.
But it was a big problem for a lot of his friends, he says, who were outed to unsupportive parents.
There are several students who've been put in danger with that. We have a few students who are being kicked out of their house because of that.
He says it pushed this part of their identity underground.
Nobody really comes out to the school anymore. There are specific teachers who will know and just not say anything, say it's a nickname, that sort of thing.
A month later, the district banned all flags, except the state and U.S. flags, unless they have superintendent approval.
However, the only teachers that received warnings for that were teachers who had pride flags up or had the "you are safe here" or "hate has no place here."
In response, Moxie handed out pride flags on sticks.
People were taking them to try to rip them up, which that part was a little bit funny because they were actually kind of plasticky instead of fabric and they couldn't rip them, which it was funny because they would just struggle for a bit and then break the stick that they were on.
LGBTQ plus students are harassed for their identity at higher rates than straight students, CDC data show. And that number is rising in recent years. But the school district's actions, Moxie says, make LGBTQ plus students afraid to use the school's mental health services.
And it's hard to be open, and it took a while for me to accept myself. It takes a while for anyone to accept themselves, but especially in a setting like how Temecula is right now, where that sort of thing is being shunned and ostracized and punished, it gets a lot harder.
So instead, he says, they create their own support system.
We just kind of rely on each other instead, and that works a lot better.
All of the kids he knows who were kicked out are now in homes. Some back with their parents, others with new guardians. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
If you or someone you know are having thoughts of suicide, you can call the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988. Tomorrow, we'll look at a school taking a different approach to addressing mental health by baking it into the curriculum. Sophomore students at Hoover High School are learning to handle their anxiety and stress. Education reporter MG Perez tells us how.
10th grade students at Hoover High School have spent the past 4 months researching therapies to help them deal with stress. Their project-based learning started in science and English classes, looking at the physiology and social causes of childhood anxiety, depression, and isolation. Valerie Woodfill is one of the veteran teachers who guided their work.
I think we all need reminders of techniques that we can engage in to help our mental health. Everything from meditation, aromatherapy, breathing techniques. We try to make all of these things very accessible.
The student project culminated in Wednesday's all-day self-care fair on campus, with 500 Hoover students from freshmen to seniors experiencing their best mental health therapy options. MG Perez, KPBS News.
Coming up, a San Diego institution is celebrating a big birthday. We'll have that story just after the break. Thank you. There's a new centenarian in San Diego, but this 100-year-old is not a person. It's a place. Downtown's Balboa Theater opened 100 years ago today. Reporter John Carroll has a look at its history and the celebrations that start tonight.
When the Balboa Theater opened on the southwest corner of 4th and E Streets, it was, as the San Diego History Center describes it, a well-designed combination stage and screen house from the era of palatial theaters.
Oh, I feel like the Balboa is San Diego's jewel.
Abigail Buell is with San Diego Theaters. The nonprofit runs both the Balboa and downtown's Civic Theater.
But it is the epicenter of all kinds of arts, performing arts within San Diego.
The epicenter, no longer a spring chicken, needs plenty of attention. Theatrical TLC.
Since 2008, you know, as an organization, we are constantly doing upkeep and little things have changed. But, you know, in preparation for its 100 years, we are working on some new carpet, which we'll see all over the building, that was custom made and designed by us.
Carpet bearing capital B's, surrounded by a rope design, a nod to San Diego's maritime heritage. The exterior has a fresh look, a new tritone paint scheme. And more.
So pole banners, awnings, things to make it feel a little bit more refreshed, digital screens, things that will allow us to, you know, promote what's going on inside the theater to the public and everyone around. And so really excited about all of that.
That excitement reaches a fever pitch beginning tonight. A gala celebration kicks off a weekend of special events. Playwright, pianist, and actor Hershey Felder will present a tribute to an era of music known collectively as the Great American Songbook. Then, tomorrow night at 7, a screening of the 1929 silent movie The Flying Fleet, with accompaniment on the Balboa's amazing organ. More on that in a moment. Saturday morning, the focus is on the little ones, a children's costume parade, where all children are encouraged to come in their best roaring 20s attire, followed by tunes and tunes, classic cartoons with the organ providing the musical background. Everything winds up Saturday evening with San Diego Spotlight that will feature several local performing arts groups. Making the Balboa more accessible to San Diego's many arts organizations is a priority. So from tonight through Saturday, all of the money from ticket sales will go to the Balboa Theater Grant Fund,
which offers to subsidize partially or fully local arts nonprofits here in San Diego to ensure that they can use our space so that they can really focus on their art and being on stage, and we can do the background work, right? Operations, ensuring that labor costs are covered and things like that.
A big part of this weekend's festivities is what you're hearing now. That is the sound of one of the finest theater pipe organs left in the United States. The Wonder Morton Pipe Organ made its way to the Balboa in 2009. It will be played on Friday and Saturday by visiting theater organist Ken Double.
This is a fabulous pipe organ. The Morton Company understood this would be their signature instrument.
The organ is a marvel of early 20th century engineering. One of the people who plays it, helps to maintain it, and knows it best is Russ Peck.
This complement of pipework is, in my mind, one of the greatest designs then and now.
We talk to Peck up in what's called the Foundation Chamber. High above the stage, it's where the hundreds of pipes and other instruments live. Whether he's up here fixing this or adjusting that, Peck is in his happy place. Back downstairs with Ken Double at the console, and he's treating us to a preview of the special theme music he wrote to accompany the Flying Fleet. As the Balboa Theater becomes a centenarian, it is definitely time to celebrate its big birthday. But it's also a time to reflect on how incredibly fortunate, how lucky we all are, that this gem of San Diego is still here 100 years later. John Carroll, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Thursday.